Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. And Lord willing, it'll be right up there on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, we continue our study through the Gospels. We've spent an extended period of time here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're not trying to rush through the Gospels at all. We want to take it verse by verse and learn everything and break it down so that we can understand these things and not rush through anything. But tonight we see the invitation from the Lord to enter in. And so if you're able, I'd invite you to stand with me once again. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read two verses tonight for our text, verses 13 and 14. And tonight we have an invitation from the Lord, and with that invitation comes a very serious warning and a great encouragement for us. And the Lord says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you convict hearts here tonight. I pray if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who is yet on that broad way, Lord, they are headed towards destruction. I pray tonight they would find Jesus. Tonight they would be convicted of their sin, that they would repent and turn from that sin to Jesus in repentance and faith, calling on Jesus for salvation, for eternal life. Lord, help me to preach your word exactly as you'd have me to, convict our hearts for those that are lost in the world. And Lord, use us to help them find eternal life in Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You got your Bibles ready tonight? All right. If you don't get them ready, we're going to look at a few different verses here tonight. But just two things, if you'll notice, the invitation and then the description. Now, the Lord gives an invitation. Now, you'll remember Jesus had been preaching to the multitudes at the bottom of the mountain, that he went up into the mountain and he called his disciples unto him. So the Lord is not speaking to the mixed multitude. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his church. And he says, "I want you to enter in at the straight gate. I want you to come in to the way that leads to life. I don't want you to go out there. There's a lot that are going on the broad way. There's a lot going through the wide gate. There are a lot, there are many, a great number headed to destruction. But I want you to come through the narrow gate. I want you to go through the straight gate on the narrow way. I want you to end up in life everlasting." And so there is this invitation today. The invitation is to enter in at the straight gate. That's the invitation. Now, the Lord has given many invitations in his word. I just want to remind you of a couple real quick. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Jesus says unto those that are weary and heavy laden, those who are weighted down under the burden of sin, he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He gives an invitation to come to him. Now, by the way, coming to Jesus isn't, it's a free ride in the sense that we have eternal life and there's nothing we can do to earn it. But Jesus expects us to work for him when we come to him. He says, "I want you to come to me. I'll take away your burden. I'll take away the weight of your sin, but I'm going to give you a job to do. I'm going to give you a yoke. Now, my yoke is easy," he said. "My burden is light," but there's still a burden, right? There's still a yoke. There's still a job to do. And Jesus saves us to serve him, not to just sit comfortably in a pew. Amen. And by the way, the work that we do for Jesus, we do a little bit right here in the church, but the most of the work that we do for Jesus takes place outside of those doors. When we live for him, we're obedient to his commandments, we live the real Christian life, and we're witnesses in both in our word and in our deed. And so he gives an invitation to come to him. We could talk about a lot more, but I want to invite you, just go ahead and hold your place there, Matthew 7, but flip all the way to the very, very back of your Bible, to Revelation chapter 22. The last invitation. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see the invitation? The Lord has given the invitation. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, gives the invitation. The bride gives the invitation. The Lord's church gives the invitation. And then he says, let him that heareth say, come. Those who have come to Jesus, those who have heard the gospel, those who know the Lord are to give the invitation to come. Right? And then he says, let him that is athirst come. The invitation is to all those who thirst. All those who are dying of thirst spiritually. Jesus is the water of life. And he says, come to me, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I told you before, it's one of my favorite songs from when I was younger. Whosoever surely meaneth me. And anybody on the planet can sing that song. Whosoever, that means me. Whosoever, the invitation is to everyone. And the Lord gives the invitation. Back in our text, Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now the invitation is this, because he's going to tell us in a minute where that straight gate leads to. You see, when you go through a gate, it goes somewhere. A gate is a separation, it's a doorway, it's a threshold, it's something that takes you from where you are to someplace different. The fact that there's a gate means that there's a separation from where you are now to where he wants you to be. And God says to those who are on the broad path, come in the straight gate. Don't stay where you're at, but come over here so you can go to a different place. There's the invitation. And now let's look at the description. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let me read that again. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to, what's it say? And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now I want you to get this. The Lord's saying, I want you to enter in at the straight gate, because there's a wide gate. And through that wide gate, there is a broad way. And when you go through the wide gate and you follow the broad way, you're going to end up in a place called destruction. And I hope this touches your heart tonight, because the Lord himself says there are many that go in thereat. What's he talking about? He's talking about the wide gate. There are many who are going in at the wide gate. Why? Because, he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. In other words, being saved is a narrow way. It's a straight gate. It's very small. There's only one way to get to heaven. And many people miss it because they think there's some other way. They go over here because they think there's another way. They think there's a better way. They like their way better. And the Word of God tells us there's only one way to enter into life. And a lot of people miss it because they're trying to find their own way. My family believes this. My religion is this. My tradition is this. My family goes this way, so I'm going to go this way. And other people, I don't believe in God at all, so I'm going to go my own way. And they have their own way, and they're going because the way to life is narrow. It's straight. And so they miss it. The Lord says so right there. There are many going on the broad way because the way to life is straight and narrow. So let's talk about this description of these two different ways, these two different gates. Notice, first of all, the gates. Wide is the gate, that leads to destruction, and straight is the gate that leads to life. Now, this wide gate, it simply means it's the Greek word platus. It's where we get plateau from. It means spread out. It means wide open. Have any of you ever seen plateaus before? Go like this. I know this is difficult. You just raise your hand like that. Like that. You've seen plateaus? You don't see those here in Sequoia County, but there are other places in the world that have these things called plateaus. Other places in the world, they call them mesas. It's a place where the land goes up and it's flat and it's spread out on top. Amen. Right? Amen. And they're pretty, aren't they? Amen. It's beautiful to drive by them. And just so you know, if you pull off the side of the road and you cross the fence to go climb up one, it's a whole lot further up to the top than you think it is from the road. Amen. It's a true statement. It's wide. It's open. It's flat. It's easy. Once you go through that wide gate, it's just wide open. It's easy. Listen, the way to destruction's easy. Amen. Listen to me, friends. It's the easiest thing in the world to end up in destruction. Amen. You know why? You don't have to do anything to end up in destruction. Amen. You just live your life without Christ and you'll end up in destruction. Amen. No effort required. Amen. It's wide. It's open. And then he says there's a straight gate. Now I want you to look at this. Let's get a little English here tonight. Straight. Notice how it's spelled. It's S-T-R-A-I-T. You'll notice that this word does not have a G-H in it. This word straight does not mean without curves. That's not what this word means. We understand straight. We say straight is a string. Straight. That's not what this word means. It's not that word at all. This word is straight. It has no G-H in it. And it means something completely different. It means narrow. It's an adjective to describe something. It's saying that this gate that you go through, it's a narrow gate. Not a wide gate, but a narrow gate. The same word in its noun form is used to describe a narrow pass, like you've heard of the Straits of Gibraltar. The straits, they're narrow passageways. They're called straits. It doesn't mean that it's not got curves in it. It means it's narrow. And that's what the Word of God is telling us, that the gate that leads to life is a narrow gate. It's not wide enough for a whole bunch of people all at once. It's one person to go through, and I don't know. But I just see it like this. The only way you get into life is just you and Jesus. Amen. Not a whole different bunch of different ideas and a whole bunch of different people. It's just you and Jesus. That's all that can fit through at a time. Now, he can take as many as who will come, whosoever will, let him come. But only you and Jesus can go through at a time. By the way, that's one of the things that scares me sometimes when we see a move made by somebody, and I love to see lots of moves made. Praise the Lord for that. But especially with kids, you see one come and another come and another come and another come, and I always get a little bit nervous because I don't want anybody to do something because their friends did it. No, it's got to be you and Jesus. Amen. And that's it. It's narrow. Now get this picture in your mind, the ancient cities. I don't know if you've seen enough documentaries or old movies or anything to get the idea, but you see the old stone wall surrounding the city, and you go through the gate, and there's the main way that leads through the city. And just get that picture in your mind that there's just masses of people moving through the broad way. You see that? And it goes through the city, and it goes usually to a main part of the city, but off of that, there are little alleyways, very narrow, that when you're passing by, you might not even notice it over there. But there'd be a little gate off to a little alleyway, and it would lead to a private residence where there might be a nice courtyard and a fountain, and it would be beautiful and lush. But you might not even notice it if you're just following the crowd. But over here to the side, there's this narrow gate just wide enough for you and a dear friend to go through, and it leads back to this private place, this beautiful place. And that's the picture that I get when I read this scripture. There's a wide gate, but then there's a narrow gate. And then he says the ways. There's a broad way. And this way that he's talking about, we get the gate, it opens up. We get the way, it's like a pathway, like a road. And there is a broad way. When you go through the wide gate, you end up on the broad way. But when you go through the straight gate, you end up on the narrow way. Now you get confused, right? Because I said straight meant narrow, but narrow means something different. Well, that's the way it works sometimes. God's word was given to us a long time ago, and we've changed some of the words along the way. So that's why you need a dictionary sometimes. I need a dictionary all the time. You guys with me still? Loser. I said dictionary. Everybody just... So straight means narrow, and narrow means to afflict. It means to suffer tribulation. It means trouble. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Amen. This word, narrow, means tribulation. It's the same word Jesus uses in John 16:33. He says tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. Now, some of you guys are upset already. I thought, you know, you just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say a prayer, and then everything in your life is wonderful. But Jesus said, if you'll follow me, you're going to have tribulation. Tribulation and trouble and affliction, but at the end, life everlasting. Now, you can go the broad way if you want to. You can go the way of the world, and it'll be easy because you're going along with everybody else. And it may be easier for you in this life to not be a Christian. But at the end, you end up in destruction. You just think about it for a minute, because the Lord put it out there for people all the time. I'm just gonna give it to you. If you want to save your life, in the end, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you're going to gain it in the end. That's the choice the Lord always puts before us. Now, I know this isn't popular Christian preaching tonight, but this is the truth of the Word of God. If you want to live for Jesus, you're going to have tribulation. Things aren't going to go great. As a matter of fact, mark it down. How many of you could testify tonight? It seems like the harder I try to live for Jesus, the worse things get. Can I get a witness? Why? Because we're going to suffer tribulation. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're in a foreign country, people. Spiritually, we're in a foreign country. We're representing a different country, and not everybody in this country likes us. This may shock you as Americans tonight, but there are places in the world you went today, people would hate you. There are places where we have embassies, or we used to have embassies, and they hated them, and they killed them. Get that picture in your mind, because that's what we are. We are an embassy for a foreign country, a heavenly country. And we are an embassy in a hostile territory. We are an enemy territory. And there are people who hate us. And the little g, the God, the ruler of this world, Satan, he hates you. And he wants to destroy your life. And the more you live for Jesus, sometimes the harder things are going to get. Isn't that encouraging? It should be. Because we ought to rejoice if we get to suffer for Christ. And I promise you, the light affliction that we have in this life is but for a moment. And it's nothing to be compared for the joy that he has in store for those who follow him. So, there's the broad way, there's the narrow way. I want to give you some more verses tonight. I want to make sure you get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Hold your place there in Matthew. Don't lose that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're not used to your Bible yet, you're still learning, you can do like I still have to do sometimes and just flip till you find it. That's pretty bad when you're sitting in the pew, but it's way worse when you're up here at the pulpit. And it happens to me still. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, find verses 4 through 6. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our, what's that word? You know what that word is? It's narrow. It's the same word. In all our tribulation, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were, what's it say? Good job, brother. What's it say? This is an interactive sermon tonight. Help me out. What's the word? Troubled. Good. Thank you. It's hard to go to sleep when you got to talk every once in a while. So, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now you know where it comes from in the invitation song. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Now, I want you to get it. He said over and over again, he said, we have tribulation. But notice in their tribulation, he said, we're exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And then it goes on to say, we had no rest. Our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. And those words, that tribulation, that trouble, it's the same word Jesus said. You got to enter in at the straight gate, and you got to go on the narrow way. And the narrow way is filled with trouble. The narrow way is affliction. The narrow way is tribulation. That's what the Lord was telling his church. He said, listen, I want you to come in at the straight gate because it's going to lead to life, but you need to understand, when you go on the narrow way, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be affliction. Troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us. Is that God's going to let you go through some storms? He's going to let you go through some trials, some tribulations, some trouble, but he will be there with you every step of the way. Listen, the Apostle Paul, the trouble that he's talking about is nothing like you and I are going to face in America today. It may change one day, but listen, this man was arrested because he preached the gospel. This man was beaten with rods 5 times because he preached the gospel. This man was scourged 3 times. 40 stripes, save one, because he kept preaching the gospel. This man was shipwrecked for the cause of the gospel. This man starved, and he was thirsty because of the cause of the gospel. I'm just telling you, he went through some troubles and some tribulations that we don't understand. But he said, without were fightings, they were after us, but within were fears. Listen, even the great Apostle Paul, he was afraid. He said it was outside, it was inside, it was all around us, and yet we rejoiced because we were comforted of God. And where are we at today? I'll just go ahead and tell you that when we suffer for the cause of Christ, we ought to rejoice. When we suffer for the cause of Christ, we ought to rejoice. Listen, if you're at work and you're reading your Bible and some supervisor says you can't read your Bible here, you just go ahead and read it anyway because God said to read it, and we ought to obey God rather than men. That's right. Amen? Now listen, you ought to do your job, but when you have a break, when you have free time, you can read your Bible. You students in school, you can read your Bible in your free time. And we've had teachers in Sequoia County Schools tell kids in the past 10 years that they can't read their Bible in the library during their free time. And we've had Christian parents so-called cave and say, well, all right, honey, don't take your Bible anymore. Listen, friend, you could take your Bible. You can read that Bible. Now, y'all not break it out in the middle of math class, but when you've got free time, you can read your Bible. You can pray. We can go and we can share the gospel with people. And we might come across somebody that slams the door in our face. And we ought to rejoice when we suffer for the cause of Christ. Now look, and I'm not trying to get you to go out and cause a bunch of trouble, just try to make people mad. But I'm telling you that we can study our Bibles and we can pray and we can share the gospel in this community, and we should. Amen. But let's just be real. Most of the time we don't suffer for the cause of Christ. Most of the time we suffer because of our own sin. Right. Listen, if you suffer for the cause of Christ, rejoice, Peter says, but if you suffer as an evildoer, listen, if we got trouble in our life because we're not living right, we're not doing right, that's chastisement. You need to get right. It's a narrow way. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and find verse 4. I'll tell you what, go back to verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Listen, Paul's telling them about his tribulation, his afflictions. And he says, listen, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation. See, when tribulation came on the churches, when persecution came, they were surprised. They wanted to quit. We're like, what is going on? We're trying to live for Jesus, and things are just kind of falling down around our ears. It's going bad. What is going on? And Paul said, we told you when we were there, tribulation would come. Don't be surprised. All they that live for the Lord Jesus Christ, all they that will live for him shall suffer persecution. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look down at verses 6 and 7. Seeing it is a righteous thing to God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now listen, the Lord says, listen, one day I'm going to send trouble on those that trouble you. That makes you feel better, doesn't it? Listen, they may come at you, they may trouble you, they may persecute you, they may burn down your churches, they may put you in jail, they may even kill your family, they may take your life, but in the end, God will judge them. So stay faithful to the judge. Stay faithful to the judge. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that trouble's going to come. And I know I'm belaboring the point, but because it's so contrary to the teaching in churches today. I mean, I see it all the time. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. You're going to heaven and everything's going to be wonderful in your life. Some of you guys are still watching those bozos on TV and you listen to them tell you, if you'll just send me $10, the Lord will give you $100. Quit listening to that nonsense. There's good preaching to be found out there, but that's not it. And I know I'm just beating it to death, but I want you to get it because there's so many people, they've got this idea, if I'll just go to church and I'll just kind of clean up my life a little, everything's going to be great. And that's not what Jesus taught. And so they say, well, you're not going to get very many converts preaching like that. It's a narrow gate. And that breaks my heart. I want you to know my heart breaks for the many who go down the broad way. But I'm not going to change the gospel because it's not mine to change. You only come through to God through Jesus Christ, and you can only come to Jesus Christ on his terms. And listen, I'm telling you, when you start studying your Bible in the times that Jesus witnessed to people one-on-one, when he preached to people one-on-one, he didn't tell them what we're taught to tell them in personal evangelism class. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him to keep the commandments. We would never tell somebody that. But that's what Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus was trying to prove a point. You can't keep the commandments. But that young man was full of pride and he said, oh yeah, I've done that. Bull. Have not. And so We need to understand the gospel the way Jesus presented it. And he put the choice between people. So you can keep going on the broad way, but you're going to end up in destruction. Or you can come through the straight gate, and it'll lead you on the narrow way. And that narrow means tribulation. It means trouble. It means affliction. But at the end of it is life. So Matthew chapter 7, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I think it's interesting when you look at this word, leadeth. It means to bring, it means to carry away, it means to take away. And when you study out this word in your Bible, you're going to find the vast majority of the times this word is used, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in verses like this one. John 19:16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. This leadeth is the same word that's used over and over that Jesus was led away unto Caiaphas the high priest, and he was led away to Herod's palace, and he was led away back to Pilate. And it has this idea of being under arrest. And I'm just going to try to, what I'm trying to tell you is when you go through that wide gate and you get on that broad way, it's going to take you somewhere. It's going to carry you away. Just by the fact that you're on it, you're going to end up somewhere. You see, people think they can stay neutral. I don't want Jesus right now. I'm just going to stay right here. But you don't stay right here. The Broadway is going to lead you to destruction. It's going to lead you away. It's going to carry you away like a prisoner. It's going to take you away. You stay on that path, you will end up in destruction, period. What is destruction? It's ruin, perdition. Philippians 3. Verses 18 and 19, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Did you hear it? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame. They mind earthly things. But what does it say? Whose end is destruction. Listen, you can reject Jesus. You can try to go your own way. And people who mind earthly things, who love this world, will not choose Christ. People whose God is their belly, it means that they just follow the desires of their flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's what dictates everything that they do in their life. Their God is their belly. They will not choose Christ. And he doesn't just say these people are neutral, that they're just going their own way, they're doing their own thing. You know, you live your life, I live my life. No, he says they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's no Switzerland in spiritual warfare. Either you're on God's side or you're on the devil's side. You are either a child of God or you are an enemy of God. And make no mistake about it, friend, you don't want to be an enemy of God. Their end is destruction. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. This word destruction, this pernicious ways, it's the same thing. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Their damnation, the pernicious ways, the destruction, that's all the same word. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Yeah, following Jesus might bring some trouble, some tribulation, some strife, but rejecting Jesus Christ, you will end up in destruction. There's a wide gate and a broad way that leadeth to destruction. There is a straight gate, a narrow way, which leadeth unto life. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life when one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hellfire. You want to know what Jesus was talking about when he said the straight gate and the narrow way leads to life? He's talking about life eternal. He contrasts it here in Matthew 18 with hell fire, with eternal damnation. Now, by the way, was the Lord saying you really physically, literally ought to pluck out your eye? No. Goodness, no. I read about a young man in Florida just a couple of years ago that did that very thing. He was addicted to pornography, and so he plucked out his eye so he could be saved. Listen, the Lord wasn't literally, physically calling you to mutilate your body. What he was saying is, put that stuff away. Amen. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Put away the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Kill it. Put it away. Turn away from it forever. When Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, he didn't mean I'm literally hanging on a cross. He meant my old man is dead, and I'm living a new life in Christ. And Jesus was teaching, listen, if you're doing wicked things with your hand, quit doing them. Amen. If you're doing wicked things with your feet, quit doing them. If you're looking at wicked things with your eyes, quit looking. Put that stuff away and turn to Jesus. Don't hold on to your sin and reject Christ. Don't hold on to your sin and reject Christ. I told you before, there was a lady who came. We tried to help her a little with some food and groceries and different things over at Salisaw. And we got her to come to church. And I tried to preach. And after the service, standing right in the middle of the aisle after church, I was talking to her, trying to share the gospel with her one-on-one. And I went through the whole gospel, and she was very kind and listened the whole way. And at the end, she said, I know all that. I was raised up in church. She said, but I don't want to give up my beer, so I don't want to get saved. And I said, I want to make sure I understand this clearly. You understand that you're a sinner. Oh, yeah, I know that. And you understand that the wages of sin is death, that you're going to end up in eternal hell if you don't come to Jesus Christ. You understand that Jesus died for you and rose again, and you could repent and trust Christ and have eternal life. Yeah, I understand all of that. I said, so you mean to tell me right now tonight that you would rather hold on to your beer and go to hell? You would rather go to hell than give up your beer and turn to Jesus? And she said, that's what I'm telling you. She walked out the door, and I never saw that lady again. I'll tell you this. At least she understood something about repentance. There's some stuff going on today. Listen, I know we're not going to be sinless and perfect, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to come to Jesus, you better come ready to give up everything for Jesus. We don't get to hold on to our sin and say, well, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to repeat this prayer, but I want to hold on to all this. That doesn't work. We don't get to come to Jesus on our terms. We come and we give everything to follow him. Isn't that what he told the rich young ruler? You want to follow me? You better be willing to give it all up. There's a straight gate and a narrow way that leads to life. So you see the gates, you see the ways, you see the destinations, but would you notice lastly the travelers? Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. When you study your Bible, you'll see phrases like a great multitude. You see phrases where it says many. You see phrases where it says great. And this word many is that word great. I want to tell you today that best I know there's about 3,500 people that live in the town of Muldrow. That's just in town limits. That's not counting all the places out around about. And according to the word of God, the majority of those people are on the broad way to destruction. There are tens of millions of people in the United States of America, and the vast majority of those people are on their way to hell. There are billions in this world, and the vast majority are on their way to destruction. 150,000 people die every day. Little over two every second. Pass into eternity. About 150,000 times a day, somebody on this planet takes their last breath. And they open their eyes, being in torment. And there's somebody that you and I could have talked to last week that tonight may be their last time. There's somebody that you could talk to this week that next week may be their last time. There are many on their way to destruction, but there is a narrow way . There is a straight gate, and it leads to life. He said, few there be that find it. Now, I want you to get this, please. Stay with me just a few more minutes. The wide gate and the broad way leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I told you, it just kind of carries them along. But there's a straight gate and a narrow way, but the Lord didn't say there's a lot that go in. He says there's few. And he didn't say they just go in. He says there's few that find it. Jesus likened the gospel to a pearl of great price. He said there was a man out in his field and he found it. Listen, you don't find treasure unless you searched for it. Right? And when you look for the truth, if you genuinely, from a pure heart, look for truth, you'll find truth in Jesus. Amen. If you're looking for life, you'll only find it in Jesus. And there's only a few that find it, and God has called you and I to help people find it. Amen. To point them to the gate, to show them the way, to help them to find life in Jesus Christ. In Luke 13, 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. We're getting ready for an invitation. But while they're coming, I want you to look at it again. Luke 13. He said, they're going to stand outside the door and they're going to knock. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. And they say, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he's going to say, I don't know you. Listen, friend, there's going to be some people that are judged in the last day, and they're going to be people where Jesus taught in their city. There'd be people where Jesus healed where they were. There are people who were there when Jesus fed the multitudes, and yet they never trusted in him. And there are going to be people in the judgment, friend, that were in a church service just like this one, and they heard the gospel, and they heard the warning, and they knew that Jesus was the only way, and they went away. And one day they're going to come to the Lord and say, but I was there, I heard it. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Friends, if we don't repent, turn from our sin and turn to God, if we don't trust in him with all our heart, we cannot enter into life. We're going to stand together, if you would, please. We're going to sing what number? 538. Number 538. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart tonight. Friend, listen. Maybe you're on that broad way tonight. You know deep down in your heart you're on your way to destruction. I'm here to tell you Jesus can save you. Jesus can give you life, but you have to come to Him, repenting and trusting Him with all your heart. And friends, those of you that are saved, we need to get a determination, a burden in our heart for the many that are on their way to destruction. We need to make up our minds tonight. Lord, by your grace, I'll be a witness for you. If He's speaking to your heart, come right now.